KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. We have some special guests today, and we're going to be talking about a subject that isn't really way across the water, but a lot of the activities that are going on with these couples are happening both in Albuquerque and in Ukraine. And it's an amazing story. Our listeners are familiar with Pastor David Breidenbach. He is with Spiritual Orphans Network, and he has some partners. We have met Anna Maria Gross. She has been in the United States going to school at the University of New Mexico and has just recently graduated. And her parents have traveled all the way from Ukraine in the past couple weeks, Alexander and Alyana Gross, and they're here visiting with us for ABQ Connect, and we're excited to have you all here. David, I'm going to have you make an introduction.
I would be happy to, and thanks again for having us here. We have known the Gross family for about 20 years, and my wife Angela and myself originally met Alexander in Ukraine, and then we were introduced to his beautiful family in 2009. And since then, we've been working together to make Christ known in Ukraine. And Alexander is a pastor with the Ukrainian Evangelical Lutheran Church.
Very nice.
And he's also president of the synod and assistant to the bishop. And so he gets out and about.
Yeah, and you know, I can't help but think as you're introducing him as a pastor, being a pastor, Alexander, is a little different in Ukraine than it is in the United States. Do you do that at some peril, at some risk to you and your family? And we're going to have their daughter, Anna Maria, is going to do a little interpreting for us, because I think it'll be really interesting for our listeners to hear you guys answer in your native tongue and Anna Maria. She gets to now show us how good her English is and how good her Ukraine is.
Yes, thank you. This is a privilege, definitely, to be doing this today. Okay, so let me translate a little bit, of course. Okay. So, він питає, розкажіть нам, що ви пастором, так? Ви є пастором, скажіть нам про це, як ви працюєте в Україні, і чи є це трохи тяжко, особливо зараз війною?
Звісно. Я на сьогоднішній день служу пастором 5 громад.
So, yes, of course, it is difficult right now to be a pastor back home in Ukraine. I'm actually a pastor of 5 congregations, he says.
Це невеличкі громади.
They're not very big congregations, but...
Які втратили дуже багато своїх членів через початок війни.
Yes, now I understood that some of the church members have left because of the war.
І декілька служителів теж покинули Україну.
And some of our preachers as well have left because of the war.
І через це я, по суті, виконую обов'язки декількох пасторів одночасно.
So that's why he's a pastor of multiple congregations at the same time.
Well, I'm going to shift right to mom. Alyana, you have your little girls have been living in the United States for pretty much the duration of this war. Is that accurate?
Твої діти, твої дівчата тут в Америці вже... Майже повноцінно, як війна йде в Україні, так?
Так. Yes, she says yes.
And Anna Maria probably doesn't appreciate that I'm calling her a little girl because she's a recent graduate of college, but to moms, you're always going to be her little girl. And is that make you nervous not having your girls with you?
Каже, Анна Марія, напевно, не подобається, що я її називаю маленькою дівчинкою. Вона тільки що з коледжу випустилася. Але what was your last question again?
I'm really asking her if, so your dad has just expressed that there is some danger to being a pastor in Ukraine. And obviously, I don't want you guys to be misled in any way. New Mexico has its own battles going on, and there's some degree of danger. I guess there's some degree of danger everywhere, and we're commanded biblically to be aware and to stay on the alert. And we have... I think supernatural wisdom about certain things that God shows us that might be endangering us and our families. But while you two, mom and dad, are ministering in Ukraine, your girls have been living in New Mexico. Anna Maria has just graduated from the University of Mexico, as we mentioned. So I just wonder if your mom has just missed having her little girls with her.
Oh, yeah,
Yes, of course. Well, I'm going to translate that last part.
Yes, fine.
Питаю, чи ти за мною сумувала весь цей час, як я тут? Ви вдома, вдома небезпечно. У нас теж тут небезпечно, деякі речі такі теж є. Але чи ти за мною сумувала? Кажи в мікрофон.
Звісно, я сумувала. Це тяжко, коли ти так довго в розлуті з дітьми. Yes. Але я знаю, що Девід і Енджела запросили наших дітей, коли настала війна. І таким чином, вибачте, це емоції. І таким чином я знаю, що наші діти в безпеці, і вони у порядку, і Господь їх оберігає. І нам тоді спокійніше.
So she's making me cry because she's crying herself right now. So she's saying, yes, of course, I feel much better that they are here. I'm really glad and thankful that David and Angela Breidenbach with Sun Network has invited our children to be here. It's not only me. I also have a sister, a younger sister. We're both here. So just to be able to be here and be safe, it makes it easier for them to do their work.
I love that. David, let's go to you now. Sure. You and your wife visited with us here a couple months ago.
Yes.
And talk to us a little bit about Spiritual Orphans Network and how you got connected with the Gross family and how you work together.
Definitely. So for the last 20 years, we've been partnering with Alexandra and Alyona in English Bible camps. That's a way to engage students and families in the villages where they serve and to get them close to the church so they can experience Christianity in truth and in spirit. With the war, that's changed things quite a bit. And so Alexander is the primary administrator of the Ukraine Relief Fund that we established through Sun. We've raised over $1 million and have distributed about 850,000 of that so far. And so that distribution comes out in, we've purchased vans for transportation, particularly at the beginning of the war, getting women and children across the border into safety. It's provided hundreds of generators, heaters, of course, clothing, medicine, and then weekly they're feeding several hundred people through a social kitchen that Ilona manages.
As you're sharing this, are these things that our listeners could get involved with helping
Absolutely.
To support?
Absolutely. If you simply visit our website, which we're called Sun Network, but it's sonetwork.org, and you can see all the things. There's a whole section on Ukraine. There's a whole section on the ministry that Pastor Gross is doing in particular, and we'd love to have you partner with us.
I love that, and you can get all kinds. We're only going to have you for an hour today, so we can't cover all the nuances and everything that's going on, but this is an intriguing story, and the way we're doing this today with Ana Maria doing the interpretation and the translation for us, I've never done that before, so I hope it's intriguing to our listeners as well, because there are people like the Gross family, even here in New Mexico, who to some peril are sharing their faith in Jesus. And I'm not sure, I'm going to speak for myself right now, as an American, I feel like I'm a little selfish. We have crime and other things going on in the States, but we don't have bombs and things going off. I don't want to discount that or minimize that. I think that is crazy and scary. And yet at the same time, you guys are moving forward and preaching and going to conferences and sharing your faith. And I think that's amazing. So, David, finish how you've gotten associated with the Gross
Sure.
family.
That, of course, everything that we're doing for Ukraine relief, that's been ongoing since February of 2022. But the girls came into the picture. And when Russia first invaded Ukraine, my wife Angela came downstairs and she said, I want those girls here. Mm. And so Alexander and I had conversation. It took several months to get them into the States. We got them out of Ukraine within 24 hours. And so they lived in Romania for 2 months, then in Slovakia with some longtime ministry partners. Then Ana Maria and Marte came home with us in August of 2022 to begin education.
Yeah. And that's an initiative, too, that has not only worked out for the Gross family, but it's something that you want to continue, David.
Definitely. We call it providing pathways to education and faith. And it's really focused on students who are exceptional, who don't have the same opportunities. In the case of Ukraine, because of the war, many of the universities are closed or are no longer in existence. We also have students from Albania, and that's because of the culturally Muslim setting there. Girls simply don't have the same education opportunities. So if they have English skills, they do well in school, we can provide those pathways for them to study.
I love that. I'm going to have you roll the microphone a little bit over to Anna Maria. Anna Maria, I want you to kind of, if you could, tell us a little bit about what you remember about your parents getting into ministry. And then we met you, our KLYT audience met you right when you came to New Mexico. And so you weren't speaking English as well as you do today. But I'm amazed you're all done. And of course, we want to get to what you're doing. But before we do all of that, we're going to take a quick break. Say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be right back. I hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
ABQ Connect.
We're back on ABQ Connect, and really a special guest today. We have Alexander and Alanya Gross. They are from Ukraine. Pastor Alexander is working closely with Spiritual Orphans Network. We have David Breidenbach, and of course, our audience is familiar with David and his wife, Angela.
Absolutely.
Anna Maria Gross is the daughter of the two folks that we have here in studio. She's also from Ukraine, but she moved to the United States now 4 years ago?
Yes, definitely.
4 years ago. So I want you, if you would, to talk to us a little bit about growing up. Mm-hmm. You grew up in a time when there wasn't war.
Right.
And talk to us about when your parents got involved in ministry and what you remember. And then, was it traumatic coming to the United States?
Yes, those are all really good questions. Okay, so what do I remember from when I was a kid? Well, actually, my dad has been in the ministry, and been a pastor my whole life. So I think from the first day, I must have been in, my mom's belly, and I was already praying probably.
There you go.
As they were praying together. My whole life as I was growing up, they would do so many things for the church. You know, being a pastor at home means you're doing not only the preaching on Sunday, but you're also supporting everyone in the church, right? All the families. You are leading all the ministries. You are setting up the Sunday school sometimes, right? You are maybe even leading the youth group if there is nobody to help you with that. So he's been doing every single thing that is church for my whole life. Yeah, and so I was privileged to be able to do Sunday school when I grew up, and then also being able to help with youth group and then lead it myself. I actually lead youth group from all the way here in the United States and do it through Zoom with some of my students back home in Ukraine and some of the ones that left Ukraine because of the war and are staying in Germany or Czech Republic or Slovakia or whatever, wherever they are right now.
So that's interesting. You've not only stayed in touch with people that you've done ministry with, but maybe your friends too?
Yes. That's the only way to connect right now, to be able to just, talk or maybe FaceTime a little. Yeah.
Is there a place that Ukrainians go that's common, or are people from Ukraine all over the world now trying to stay safe from the war?
I think a lot of us Ukrainians left to the neighboring countries. For example, Poland has a big Ukrainian population right now. So that's to be able to stay close enough to your family if the war ends and you can go home, right? But also, I think the cultures around Ukraine are quite similar to ours, so it's easier to get used to.
I'm going to tell you kind of a shortened version.
Okay.
So three of my children went to school in San Diego at a little Christian school called Point Loma Nazarene. And my sons went to a barber shop where there were four Iraqi men and one Iranian man. Now, you maybe know this better than I do. Iraqis and Iranians don't typically get along that great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went there for a haircut when I was out there. And I met the owner. He was a very nice man. This place was packed. There were all kinds of people. So the owner happened to be the one that's cutting my hair. And I said to him, do you think that Americans are not as thankful as they should be about what God has given us in terms of safety and our country and opportunities? And you would have thought, I thought all these people were going to throw down their clippers and come over and knock me out, because everything in the whole shop stopped. All of the barbers came and surrounded my chair, and they just waited for their leader, to the guy that was cutting my hair, to say, Jim, I really appreciate that question, because we believe that Americans are absolutely spoiled. That they don't have an attitude of thankfulness. They don't have a spiritual perspective on just how amazing this place is. And I asked that in this context. Ana Maria, do you have the vision, do you have the hope that Ukraine could have the freedom and to express your faith and all of those things like you've observed in the United States?
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's an interesting question to answer, because there isn't any type of prosecution for believing in Ukraine. Mm. You know, our country is known to be Orthodox. Mm-hmm. That is the main denomination. But, you know, coming back to, you know, him saying that you guys are spoiled here, I don't know if that's true for everybody. But I think you guys are lucky to not have gotten through some of the things that people go through in their lives outside of the United States, just because of where they live, what the political situation is, if there is enough food or water or the necessities, right? So me and David tend to laugh at this, and we say, it is about what you want, not about what you need. So back home, you would buy what you need, the necessities, right? And that's what you can afford. And the people here can have what they want. I think that's the difference. And that's to be thankful about. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's an amazing perspective. David, what have you learned having the Gross girls living with you?
Oh, my goodness, that is a loaded question. You look at our little household. We have two adult daughters. They're married. We have grandchildren. And then we brought, and having those cultures not clash, but try to merge into each other was quite an experience. We thought we understood a good amount about each of the cultures, but you really don't understand it unless you live with the cultures. And so it's really expanded our perspective. It certainly made us more grateful. And at the same time, we celebrate what these connections, these relationships that we have globally, how that's expanded what God is doing in, around, and through people. And we've certainly seen that in the midst of the war, more and more people coming to faith along the lines of there are no atheists in foxholes.
Yeah.
And that's couldn't be more true.
So, David, tell us one more time. Well, I'm going to have you do it each segment,
sure.
But tell us in this segment, mm-hmm. how can our listeners get involved if they're hearing things that they think are interesting?
Yes.
I know you've even told us sometimes when people don't know anything about missions,
mm-hmm.
Getting involved in missions, you almost seem addicted to it. Is that the wrong word?
And it was something brought to me, and I know we've talked about this in the past. My first mission trip was in 2006 to Poland, and this is my 21st summer that I will be overseas. I think, again, as Americans, we tend to think of missions as us going on our great white horses to go save the poor people and to take care of people, digging wells, building houses, and so on, which are needed. The nature of the mission that Sun does, it's relational, and it's those connection points. And we've seen that happen with the Gross family and the Breitenbach family, 20 years. But it's the importance of taking teams overseas to build relationships and to just spend time talking to
people. Are there opportunities for our listeners to possibly be part of those teams?
There are. And again, I'll direct you to our website, which is sunnetwork.org, which the URL is sonetwork.org. We do mission trips during the summertime. We take teams, but you always partner with funding, particularly with Ukraine. That is ongoing. And we've kind of lost interest as Americans in what's happening in Ukraine, but it has not stopped. Every single day, every single night, Alexander and Ilona have air raid sirens. I can hear missiles and all sorts of things flying overhead every day.
That's crazy. I think when we come back from this break, I want to talk to Pastor Alexander about communication and how do you keep tabs on your girls. They are perfect, I understand, from David. They have caused no teenage problems whatsoever, if that's true. If that's true, then you guys are both the parents of the century. I have 5 kids, and they'll probably be mad at me, but I didn't have any perfect kids. We'll be back on ABQ Connect right after these messages.
ABQ Connect.
We are back on ABQ Connect. I really appreciate everybody that's listening today. This show is a little bit unusual. It's a Memorial Day weekend. I hope everybody's enjoyed a little bit of a long weekend. But as I say that, I'm thinking, well, there's some things going on the other side of the world in Ukraine that are hard to smile about because there's just really scary things going on. I want to start with Alexander, Pastor Alexander. How do you use the gospel or does the gospel, I guess I should say, does the gospel encourage people when you share the simplicity of it, when people are scared and worn out by war?
Чи допомагає Біблія підтримувати людей? Яким чином?
Так, я можу сказати, що християнські церкви зараз роблять дуже важливу справу в Україні.
I can say that right now, especially in Ukraine, the churches do a lot of important work.
Особливо я можу говорити про протестантські церкви, які стоять поряд з людьми в їх потребах.
Especially I can speak about the Protestant churches in Ukraine that stand by the people in their problems.
І через допомогу соціальну допомогу, різну допомогу, ми теж маємо можливість людям свідчити про нашу віру своїм власним прикладом, показуючи їм, що означає бути християнином.
And of course, through the social work that we do, we also get to show the people of Ukraine what love of God is.
Анна Марія вже сказала, що наша країна традиційно православна.
Just like Anna-Maria already said, our country is more orthodox traditionally.
І це означає, що це люди йдуть в церкву і там мають різні ритуали, релігійні ритуали для свого життя.
And that means that people come to the church and they perform some rituals for their life that are traditional in the orthodox congregation.
Але зазвичай не мають якогось життя в самій громаді.
But unfortunately they don't have the life, the Christian life inside of the congregation itself.
І це означає, що ми сьогодні, коли працюємо з нашими людьми, з нашим населенням і приходимо до людей додому, ми показуємо, демонструємо зовсім нову модель церкви.
And because now we come to those in need, to their homes, serving them in whatever ministries that we have, we show them a different model of Christianity where people connect when there is a relationship.
Anna Maria, I think we need to be a little bit more specific because your father's using words that I know what Americans will do with those. Mm-hmm. They'll just glaze over them. When you talk about social work, you're talking about visiting families that have no food.
Correct.
Or you're talking about a family that hadn't seen a doctor in a long time. So that work is not only critical, but it's life or death.
Yes, it is. He can explain a little bit more. I can translate it.
Yeah, please.
Якщо можеш пояснити трохи краще, як саме ви людям служите, які саме у вас програми є, так?
Так, на сьогоднішній день ми допомагаємо продуктами харчування для декількох тисяч людей.
Yeah, so right now we have a couple of projects. The first one is we supply food for a couple of thousand people in our area.
Разом з продуктами ми також надсилаємо проповіді в друкованому вигляді.
And with the food itself, we also give them the message, like Sunday message, so they can read it.
Разом з цим найбідніші люди, які не мають близьких, також отримують від нас допомогу на медикаменти.
Yeah, and those who in that 1,000 or 2,000 people that we serve, those that we know are the poorest and can't have or don't have enough money to even supply medication for themselves, we help with that as well.
Ми також отримуємо гуманітарні вантажі з Німеччини і Швеції, і таким чином розподіляємо одяг, взуття людям, а також памперси і всякі різні речі гігієнічні для того, щоб підтримувати тих, хто вдома.
And so through humanitarian help that we receive from Germany and Switzerland, I think that's what he said. So that's humanitarian help such as clothes, diapers, any type of hygiene stuff. We also, give that out to people when they are in need and unable to provide for themselves.
Ми також маємо 20 ліжок, спеціальних медичних ліжок, які ми постійно надаємо в користування для лежачих хворих.
There is a whole list. I'm sorry. This is pretty long, isn't it? But there are also 20 specifically hospital beds that we distribute to those who are bedridden and are unable to get a bed for themselves that is fitting for them or their condition.
І зараз теж займаємося тим, щоб відкрити можливість взимку брати людей до церкви, церковної будівлі, тому що вони, частіше вмирають зимою.
Uh-huh. And so the last thing we do right now is we're starting a project where we want to help those in, especially grandmas and grandpas, in the winter that aren't able to provide for themselves, don't have the heating in the house maybe even. So we want to open a little building where they can live with us for the winter because there is a much higher percentage of death in the winter because of there's an absence of necessities. Yeah.
So I'm smiling not because there's just tremendous need. I'm smiling because I know our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Our listeners on this radio station listen because they want to figure out how they can do ministry. So, David, I'm going to have you grab that microphone and tell us again, what's the easy way if somebody has interest in supporting all this work that Alexander has just described, how do they get involved?
Well, first of all, we're not usually trying to beat the drum for funding.
Right.
Ministry is relational. In this setting, in this situation, we serve in 9 different countries, but in Ukraine, because of the war, right now funding is critical because of the direct and acute needs that are being administered. And again, we raised over $1 million. We've distributed about 850,000, and there will be more needed so that we can continue to get these funds into Alexander's hands and our other partners in ministry. The unique thing about the Ukraine Relief Fund through Sun is that we have 100% accountability down to the penny of where everything's going, who's using it, how it's being used.
And so, you know that our radio station's on the campus of Calvary Albuquerque, but we try to make this a tool for the evangelical community. We have churches all over the state. Lots from Albuquerque, and we're also broadcasting in Santa Fe and Las Cruces and Clovis and Portales. So a lot of the churches in those areas let us know about what they're doing, how they're doing. We have various ministries that we talk about. So I think that you're going to get some of our listeners, and so they can give securely.
They can online, again, sownetwork.org, and you can give securely there. You're welcome to give us a call. I'm happy to come and visit and talk with you in person, although we are getting ready to go overseas for the summer.
How would they reach out to you? Through this website?
Through the website.
Okay.
Through sunnetwork.org. That's really the easiest way. We do have a Facebook page. We're also on Instagram.
Okay.
But that's probably the best way. All of our contact information is there. We do covet your prayers. We're getting ready to deploy 5 separate teams overseas in 2 weeks. First to Latvia, then to Albania, and then 3 teams to Slovakia. And in Slovakia, we will have Ukrainian students joining us who are refugees.
Wow, that's amazing. We're going to take another break, say thank you to our sponsors. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Ana Maria, just finished college. Does that mean you get to take a vacation and kick back, or are you going right to work? So we'll ask her that when we come back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect.
We are back on ABQ Connect, and we thank you so much for listening this afternoon. This has been a really interesting program. Pastor David Breidenbach with Spiritual Orphans Network. That's SONETWORK.org. They're a missions organization working with Eastern European countries. And I think, David, at one time you told me a lot of these the former Soviet Union countries that are kind of on the south side of what is now Russia, yes, are countries where you minister, and of course Ukraine. The Gross family is here. Ana Maria has just graduated from the University of New Mexico. She's been living with the Breidenbachs, and Alexander and Aljana Gross are with us as well. And doing ministry, and we Ana Maria has done a brilliant job of interpreting, and I think our listeners are intrigued with this. I really do. I think it's an interesting format because it's reality. So you've been educated now in the United States. You obviously had a great deal of education as a child in Ukraine. You know what your parents have been doing. You've committed yourself to Christ. That's a testimony that you gave us a long time ago. What's next for you?
Okay, so I've got to say, the last couple of months have been crazy. So not only did I just graduate, but I also finished my internship that I've done for a whole year. And the company that I worked for this whole year has decided to hire me full time.
All right, congratulations.
That's been so exciting. So I will be doing that for a whole year. And we'll see, maybe in the future, if they like me enough, I say, maybe I can do a work visa. Otherwise, I can always go back to school and get my master's degree. I really like, so being able to come here and experience culture and just travel around the world, having such a beautiful Christian family, right? Global Christian family. I've loved learning about culture. And so I really want to do international relations for my master's if I can in the future.
Now, where will you live while you're working for this company?
Here.
Oh, you will? Okay, great.
Yeah, so I'll get to do that for a year and we'll see. Again, as I said, if they like me enough, they'll keep me.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure that they'll love you and want to keep you. But I also know, and I'm going to direct this to David, and I'll talk to Pastor Gross about this and his wife in just a second. But David, I don't know how to say this without saying a double negative. You can't not share the gospel.
Amen.
I mean, I know you were in broadcasting for a long time.
Yes, I was.
But the Holy Spirit's not going to let you not share your faith in Christ.
Of course, of course. And so, you know, we're talking about education, and we call it providing pathways to education and faith. So that faith element is so important. They're going to UNM, which is not a faith-based school, as we know, yet.
I am a former Lobo, and I will attest.
Right. All of our students are steeped in a faith community, and whether it's through youth organizations, it's certainly going to worship and spending time with families and so on. We've had a couple of students who've really discovered their faith and have come to Christ. But it's helping to build on the foundations that certainly Ana Maria and her sister Marta have been given through their parents. And you heard earlier that they are working in ministry even from here in the United States. Mm. They're developing curriculum to be used in Ukraine. So it's paying forward, and it's giving them a huge opportunity to make a difference in this world.
So I'm going to direct this now to Aljana. You're a mom. You have had your girls in the United States. They're a long ways away. Do you get a chance to communicate with them a little bit on a regular basis so you feel like you're staying in touch? You don't get the hugs that you normally get, but do you get to stay in touch with your girls?
Питаю тебе, твої діти вже тут в Америці достатньо довго. Цікавиться, чи ти можеш якось з нами комунікувати? Чи ти з нами розмовляєш достатньо часто, коли і як, яким чином?
Звісно, нам завжди дуже цікаво, як наші діти, чим вони займаються, як вони себе почувають, і ми телефонуємо один одному дуже достатньо часто.
Of course, we're very, very interested in how our kids are doing. So she's saying we get a chance to call, usually FaceTime. That's me, my.
Uh-huh.
Once a week or twice a week, yeah, we talk.
That's good. That's good. Alexander, when you are pastoring other congregations, is part of your work, do you identify future pastors, people that are called to do exactly what you're doing?
Ну, насправді дуже складна ситуація саме в тому, що дуже багато молоді виїхала, і з церков виїхало теж дуже багато молоді, і тому має народитися нове покоління фактично людей, прийти в церкву, і це через дитячу працю, підліткову працю, які потім зможуть бути служителями теж.
He says it's hard right now, since a lot of our youth have left the country to stay safe. And not only youth around the country itself, but specifically from the church, the capable, right? The capable ones that leave and find a job outside of the country. And so he says we would have to wait for the new generation to grow up. And through that youth work, through that young, even Sunday school, we're able to bring up the future leaders, hopefully.
I love that. Tell us about, I mean, Ukraine had independence from the USSR. I don't know the history, but at one time was overrun with communism. How has communism, is there still a spiritual void in people that were under the communist regime that you see and feel every day in the work that you do?
Насправді це дуже відчутно до сьогоднішнього дня. Той регіон, де ми живемо і служимо, регіон, який, в якому люди, ну, майже не відвідують церкву.
Yeah, he understands you quite well. I don't think he needs my translation anymore. So he says, yes, definitely in our region, specifically in our region where we serve, you can see that there is that void in people. They don't come to church, they don't feel good about church overall.
І, ну, всі церкви, які в нас є, вони всі маленькі на сьогоднішній день. Тобто ми можемо сказати, що, можливо, 2% населення загалом відвідує церкву в неділю, будь-яку церкву.
And so we can say that only 2% of the whole, you know, all the citizens of Ukraine come to church on Sunday. 2%.
І це, ну, це в нашому регіоні особливо. Mm-hmm. І це є наслідком якраз комуністичної ідеології.
And especially that can be seen in our region next to Odessa on the Black Sea. And that's all because of the communist regime and how that affected people.
За 70 років, ну, знищено фактично, в родинах знищена віра.
Yes. And over 70 years, that faith has been eliminated in within the families.
І через це немає тих батьків, бабусь, які здатні передавати віру.
That's why we don't have those grandmas or those parents that can share their faith with their children and pass it along, you know?
І ми змушені з цим, ну, постійно бути в таких битвах.
And we so always have to fight with it, with that.
До нас приходять діти і багато дітей в різні наші служіння.
We have a lot of children coming to a lot of our ministries.
Але жоден з їх батьків не є членом церкви.
But none of their parents are a part of the church.
І цікаво, вони бояться йти в церкву самі, але дітей довіряють нам.
And it's very interesting. They're afraid to go to church themselves, but they would let their children go.
І тому у нас є надія, що з часом це все зміниться.
So we have that hope that with time it will change.
I love that.
І що ми теж вже є сьогодні. Маємо вже велику повагу сьогодні, і церква як інституція буде важливою для нашого суспільства.
And the last thing he wanted to say was that we hope that now that we have that their respect, since we care for their children, that hopefully the church as the institution will be very important for them in the future.
Let's switch the microphone over to David. David, as Pastor Alexander is describing these things, you're obviously involved with SO, spiritualorphansnetwork.org, because you not only have hope, but you believe the Holy Spirit is going to move across this entire region. Is that opportunity now?
Absolutely, and it's never not been there. It's that consistency of relationship. Spiritual orphans are everywhere, and that's exactly what Pastor Gras just explained. They don't know that they have a Father in heaven who loves them, or a global family in Christ to walk alongside of them, and certainly they don't understand grace and hope and forgiveness, and that's what we try to bring to them.
There are, I know you're meeting so many needs. You gave us a list earlier of all the different ministries, but as you're ministering to people in the church, they live next door to people that are not in the church. Mm-hmm. Do you also help those folks? Do you help people in need, period?
Of course. And so that's part of when we take teams overseas to do English Bible camps, teen life and adventure camps, that engages a lot of those same
students.
So
you say teen. You're taking teenagers over?
Well, this is it's for teens.
Okay.
All of our teams are intergenerational.
Gotcha.
We love to take families and individuals from all over the U.S. for a great witness. But for the teens, that curriculum it gets very deep. It deals with all the same issues that teenagers all over the world are dealing with, and how do you approach that from a biblical perspective? We give them tools for the things that challenge them.
Man, this is we could easily talk another hour. Unfortunately, we've used up the time that we have, and I'm so grateful for you all to be here.
Thank you so much.
And I hope our listeners are going to be excited about possibly being involved in missions. You have people that are senders. They're helping pray. You've already asked for that from our listeners about the teams you have going out this summer. They are people that support financially, but you also have extended an invitation to people maybe to participate in some way.
Come with us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We'd love to take you.
I love it. Well, again, thank you all for being here on ABQ Connect, and we'll look forward to getting an update pretty soon about how everybody's doing. Thanks for joining us.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.